Albert Lerner at his home in Chesney. This is... Oh, January 9th, 1989. And the topic is basketball. Tell me what you remember about basketball.
Basketball? Back in... I was in high school from 1937 to 41. The game was similar to what it is now, but we used to have a jump ball. Every time there was a jump ball, we used to have to jump. Nowadays, they ruin the game by putting up the arrow telling which team had possession. If you're a scrapping team, now it don't do you any good because you get a jump ball. Every other time, it goes to the opponent. The free shot, there was never free shots. Shot the way they are today, we always shot them underhanded. And at noon hour, the varsity had to shoot 50 free shots. If we didn't make 48 out of the 50, we always had to turn around and shoot 50 more free shots. As far as the referees go, and about the same, but we played in a lot smaller gym. The gym we have up here now would make probably four of the one I played in when I was a freshman. We used to call it the Cracker Box. And then in sophomore year, they built a new gym onto the old high school, which was a fairly good gym. It seemed like a giant gym after playing in that Cracker Box. We used to have what we call a medicine ball. I haven't seen one. I've been up there watching playing practice and stuff, but I haven't seen a medicine ball. These kids today ought to see a medicine ball. It's about 2 foot in diameter, weighed about 50 pounds. We was practicing, the varsity was practicing, and the reserves was playing on the other half of the floor, and they were playing with that medicine ball. First thing I knew, that thing hit me inside the head, and I thought Joe Lewis had hit me. They used to do that to give you arm strength for passing. You don't have medicine balls anymore, do you? As far as that goes, the game is just about the same as it was back then. I may be wrong, but I think we only had four fouls before we was out of the... fouled out. Now it's five. And we was a Class C school at that time, and the teams we played was Breckenridge, Shepherd, Ithaca, St. Louis, St. Charles. And we always figured we beat St. Charles, we had a successful season, because there was our rival. I played in games when the whole starting lineup be out before the first half was over on fouls. We used to play rough. What I wonder about when I go to a basketball game today is they don't wear no sockets like we used to. We used to wear sockets, black and orange sockets with knee guards. And when I go see these guys sliding on the floor today and come up a lot of floor burn, I don't know how they do it, because we used to get floor burns, we had knee pads on. The whole team, that was a uniform. Black and orange sockets with black knee pads. And other than that, I don't see any other change in basketball today. I'm not sure, but that's what you're going to need.
What were the practices like?
We practiced after school. The thing that was, practice was more or less, we didn't have to practice to get in condition, because we was in condition time we got to school. I myself would walk 2 miles to school in the morning, and we practiced basketball from about 7 o'clock at night after school. And the time I got home in the wintertime, my hair would be frozen.
What kind of drills did you do to improve your skills?
We practiced a lot of free shots, and we used to have what we call a revolver defense. And the only way you could break that defense up was real fast passing. And today, I don't think the fellas move the ball fast enough. which they did, they wouldn't have so much trouble with their own.
How popular was it in school?
Basketball was real popular. Pretty sure the kids that wouldn't have been going to school then hadn't been for sports.
What do you remember about the games?
That's a good question. It used to be rough and rugged, I know that.
About how many people?
The gym was completely full. We had to turn people away a big share of the time because we didn't have the seating capacity in the little gym, but then when we got in the other gym, it was still completely full. And I think the parents themselves showed a lot more support to the team. If you had somebody playing and almost all your relations of that kid playing would be there to watch you play ball.
How was the score kept and how did they keep track of time?
Well, they didn't have all this electrical gadgets they got today, but the score was kept just about the same, but they used a stopwatch. Every time the ball went out of bounds, they'd stop the clock, the watch. And then when they went in play again, well, the referee, when he started blew his whistle, they'd start the time clock watch again. But it was kept similar. Only thing, it wasn't put on an electronic board like it is today. But they did have a kid up there that kept changing the scores by numbers. Like if it's the first quarter, they put up one, and the second quarter, they put up a two, and the third quarter, they put up a three, and the fourth quarter, they put up a four. And then it had home and visitors, just like they do today. And like they would, if you made 2 points, they'd have a two they put up to start off, and they had just regular numbers. They just kept changing them on these tapes.
I know there was girls basketball. Was it more liked by boys in school or by girls?
Girls basketball wasn't quite as popular as it is today, but those girls was really rough. If you wanted to see a lot of look like wrestling on TV, you want to go see a girls game between Chesnut and St. Charles. That was nothing but a hair pulling contest.
I noticed in the yearbook that the scores were low. How come they were so low?
Because it played strictly defense. It was strictly more or less defense, it was offense. There's very, very few schools that fast broke, made a fast break. Nowadays, you go to a basketball game, all you see them playing is on the court of the floor. We used to play the whole basketball floor. Picks that ball, come out of the ball underneath the basket. After another team made a basket, there was two or three guys around that one guy, and he had a hard time getting that ball even down the floor past the 3 second line. But 10 second line it was. But that 10 second line was 3/4 of the floor rather than just the middle now because the gyms are smaller.
Did the newspapers and radio talk a lot about basketball?
There was very, WOAP used to broadcast a few of the games, other than that, but then they used to have good write-ups in the papers about it, and especially the Chesning used to have a Chesning Argus at the time, which was a weekly paper, and they'd have a write-up for each game. It used to come out on Fridays, and they'd have the games played previous to the time it was printed.
What position did you play?
I played guard. Biggest share of the time. And I played guard and forward. But I was pretty fast. I was a good dribbler and stuff. But mostly I always bring the ball down the floor.
After you played in high school, did you follow basketball?
Not as far as going on to college or anything, but I did go to a lot of games and watch a lot of games after that. Still do.
what can you tell me about the refs now and how they referee now compared to how they referee back then?
Well, I think the referees do a similar job. We had two referees back then, and we have two referees today. And when it comes to the tournaments, in the year we always had three referees. But as far as the refereeing going, it's, you always think the people that got the losing team always think the referee did a real bad job, and when it wins, always think, boy, that was a good job of refereeing, and that's just about the way it is today.
Tell me, what did some of the other gyms look like when you traveled to other schools?
Well, we had one of the smallest gyms during the freshman year. But then after we got the new gym, we was similar. But all the rest of the gyms was, it was already ahead of us as far as the larger gyms.
Tell me about some of the equipment used today, or used. Tell me about some of the equipment you used. Like, I noticed in the picture how they have some page and stuff like that. And what other, like, equipment? Like, do you know if you had a bag in there, or did you have some bases and stuff?
No, we didn't have bases. We had some adhesive tape wrapped around it or something like that. But today you go and you see the guy look like he got a wooden leg with all the stuff he's got wrapped around there. Of course, we didn't have as many injuries. I think on the whole, the fellows back then were a lot better condition than they are today. Because we didn't jump in the car and go over a place. When we went any place, we walked. So we was in good condition.
How did you get to the other gyms? Like, when you played away, how did you get there?
Okay, we didn't have school buses that we could use to go to basketball games or anything like that. It was up to the superintendent of the school. He had to make arrangements with the banker or the businessman or the parents of the players. And we always took about, I think it was five people in the car besides the driver. And back in those days, I always hated to go to Shepherd. Because you get a good winter day, and the time you got to Shepherd, your feet was froze. No, not much heat in the cars back then. It isn't like it is today. That you got a heater to run you out of that. It was cold.
If you had to cut the wood before you go out, it'd be so much fun.
It's one of the main things you'd say is that you're going to do, you got to prepare.
Prepare ahead. You know, 6 months, next the fall, you should prepare.
I get everything ready. Mm-hmm. Make sure you know what you're going to be doing.
Have your wood stacked up so it's dry, real dry.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get your whole seat out.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add?
Really, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a good sweetener. We use it for sweetening our cereal. But it's nice on waffles.
Waffles. So I'd say that's what most people eat.
Don't take much of it to flavor it.
No.
If you like the store-bought syrup.
Did you ever sell much of it in stores and stuff?
No, we never sold no stores.
You just had people come to your house and buy it?
Yeah. Once they got out, that was it. Once they know I made it, we're still pestered with people once. So we're all out now, so we got to boil next year to get my grandkids to help me.
Yeah, we'll
get them together.
You should have a lot of people who come down and help.
Get everybody working now.
Yeah.
Everybody works out. Tired at night, you can't blame them. You get going to high school, you've got so much to do in high school.
You get busy.
So much homework. And of course, you got to go to basketball games and dances. So, yes, that's...
Doesn't leave much room for maple syrup.
No, I don't give much room for maple syrup.
Right.
But I missed it. I missed it the last 2 years. This year, I missed it the most. I don't know why. I guess because... No time you're running out, I guess.
Have to get to it then.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to. I guess that's about all I can say. You have to have a hydrometer to tell when the syrup is ready. That tells the weight of it. It's got to weigh 12 pounds to a gallon. You get a tooth, if you boil it too thick, it'll crystal in the bottle, white crystals.
Ah, so it'll form like a sugar substance.
Yeah, it'll just look like diamonds. And if you get it too thin, they won't keep. But in the old days, pioneer days, like my mother's dad, they let a sugar, and then they ground that up, and it was perfectly white, just like the sap was. Now remember, your sap is snow white.
Uh-huh.
It turns amber when it's boiled. But when the sugars will turn right back to snow white, you can grind it up in the food grinder, you got crystal sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the farmer made his sugar, because hey, there's no money to taste.
So
that's
where we got our sugar.
That's where we got our sugar. And it didn't taste maple after it had crystals.
It just tastes like regular sugar, basically.
Yeah, because the starting to stop. And you can't boil after the trees start to bud. They'll run just the same as you can't. It won't make no maple flavor. It'll be just, you know, it has ammonia acid in it. Like they use as protein. Ammonia, how do you pronounce that?
Ammonia.
No, ammonia acid. Amino acid or something like that. It's just, I boiled one year and got 30 gallons of beautiful syrup you ever see. There was no maple flavor to it at all.
What did it taste like?
I had to dump it out. Just it had that, but the trees had budded and beyond, I didn't know, way up in the crown up top, didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
And we got a snow and run like a summer done. It'll run with the snow. The thing is, say it's, you're boiling along the ain't running good. You get a snow, maybe 6 inches snow, wet snow, and 32 degrees will start running up. We have just run and run. That snow, something about it. It means to draw the sap out of the ground, the cycles up the trees. See, what happens when the spring comes, it thaws out. When it gets warm, the sap goes up to the limbs. See, it gets it like your blood in your body. And when it freezes, it'll go right back down. So you're catching it on its way up, down, up, down, up.
Catching both ways.
But when it takes and don't freeze and it stays up there, at least it's very fun. That's about it. Yeah. I guess that's about all I can say about it. Just a lot of fun.
Yeah. So basically, why don't you just run through like basically your steps and what you do.
Set up all our pans, sterilize them with a cleaner like you take all bacteria out. I used soda. Get our wood all up. You like to have a lot of shanty, so if it does rain or snow, you got some dry wood.
Uh-huh.
If you got outside, we always covered it.
Uh-huh.
And then we just wait for that old warm sun to come out and make it run. As a rule, it usually takes up 3 to 4 weeks of spring. Usually it's for last of February to first April, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to clean up.
So, how long does it take you usually to tap the trees one day?
Take about 2 days to tap trees. Yes, by hand like that, but now they have power auger, you know.
Uh-huh.
I still like the old way.
You just go through the old stuff.
Yeah.
So then, okay, after you've got it boiled, then
we got to take the house and cleanse it.
Re-cleanse it. What is that? Why do you have to re-cook it?
Well, we have to clean it, heat it up. Where it's always warm, I take the house and you just bring it back up to a boil. And when you get, and then you boil it down to the old thermometer says it's syrup. And then you pull out the stove and strain it with a felt. So it cleans everything out. Your syrup's got to be crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
It takes we strain it when we gather it, we strain it when we put it in the tank, we strain it when we take it out from the evaporator, and we cleanse it. Bottle. We have to put the bottles in the oven and warm them up hot. So that hot syrup won't break the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to put your finger in once in a while and lick it, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
How much did you usually turn out in a day?
Around 20 gallons.
20 gallons a day?
An 8-hour day.
An 8-hour day. You ever get tired, like, just long days?
So tired you couldn't straighten up. Because if you boil that much strip off the day, you've got to work every minute. No set downs. You fire one side every minute and you're taking off strip about every 15 minutes.
Okay.
So, the old days, we always killed the fire and then took it all off at one time. But you go straight through the batteries, constantly moving. Every gets pushes up, there's up. For 8 compartments in the battery, in the last compartment, that makes your final syrup. The weight pushes it, keeps pushing it.
It's like a step-by-step process inside the battery.
Right. Of course, we had a skimmer to skim off the foam. That has a lot of dust, you know, leaves, what might get through on you.
Okay.
It's an awful lot of work. Should be 2 men boiling. We'd like to have a rest.
Taking shifts next time.
Well, I suppose.
Well, I guess that's about it.
I might get my clothes changed at 3:30. Yeah, I've got to hook up the track. That's a noise.
It's a tractor.